It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yes, yes. Surprise edition of QFTA. Emergency QFTA. On the Tim McKernan Show podcast. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. The context, a sound story scheduled today at 11:30. And there was a late change to the schedule. And so I thought, you know what, Jackson? I got things going on tomorrow. I got things going on Thursday. And I got things going on Friday. Let's take care of it today.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. And the people are there. They want a QFTA. Well, you got it. Send your questions. Erotic stories would be great. T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com. Questions are welcome. Comments are welcome. And we got some good ones here. All right, I'm gonna give you a choice.
All right.
QFTA submission, not erotic. Let me try to sum it up. This is a question about the Bruce Tucker reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that. This is one that I wasn't even aware of. I guess this guy was trying to watch porn in North Carolina, but you have to submit a bunch of data before Spectravision starts up at a hotel in North Carolina now?
I know that there are some states that require you to, like, send a picture of your ID to prove you are over 18.
So you can start beating off?
Yeah.
Huh.
I believe it's like
now
that
this
in Nevada.
Is this done by the party of less government or the...
You take a guess.
Okay. Then we got a friend of the show at this point, Micah Sage.
Yeah.
A guest. For context, I normally wonder, how do you decide what to read from the text inbox?
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
And then this one is from Dogtown Ty, defending Jennings Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club champion. He has to go up against a very dangerous Doug Vaughn, who shot 83 in the Hawk and is like, I didn't play that well. The fuck? You're a 15 shooting 83? I'm a 3 shooting an 81. And I was like, I didn't play that bad considering the conditions. I didn't play great. But I'm like, let's just survive in advance. And Doug's out there shooting an 83 and has a 15. He's the favorite to win the thing.
He's
going up against a champion in the second round.
I hope his humbleness is not confusing for naivete.
Sit down. Be humble.
K-Dot.
Thank you.
A lot going on with K-Dot these days.
Yeah. I posted on the TMA fan page on Facebook that we might be doing an emergency podcast. And I see that Manchild 79 and Juan from PP Corp are having a lot of discussion about K-Dot.
Yeah.
And Drake.
Yeah, some beef going on, involving also St. Louis and Parkway North graduate Metro Boomin.
If young Metro does not trust you, I'm going to be obligated to shoot you.
Right, and then Drake responded with, and I quote, Metro, shut your hoe ass up and play some drums.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot going on there.
But I mean, young Metro and Drake... used to be partners.
Longtime collaborators.
Did they dine at Louis together? Did they get that chicken?
I don't know if they dined there together. I'm sure both of them have been there. I know Drake has been there several times. I don't know about Young Metro. But, they are longtime collaborators, including on What a Time to Be Alive with Drake, Future, and Metro.
All right, so we're touching on what the people want to talk about.
The heart of the beef is right there.
So I gave you four that are at the top of my inbox. I got another one on the Joe Strauss theory, which I talked about on Balloon Party. But, if it's sent in for QFTA, I try to make sure I do it on QFTA. TMA reunion. Seamonster, he texted me and you saying he'd be up for TMA.
I don't know if I was on that text.
I was virtually certain you were.
didn't think. Maybe it's just a number.
This was sent
recognize.
Like last week by the Sea Monster.
Yeah. Maybe I was. Oh, okay. I feel bad not responding.
I responded right away. God, you're unbelievable.
I'm
so arrogant.
Tough to work with.
Thank you. That's finally getting out there now, and I like that. So anyway, Jackson, any of those topics get your cock hard?
Well, we only have so much time in the day, Tim. But the text inbox one's pretty interesting. That's something I've never really thought
okay.
about. I wouldn't mind.
I'm in the YouTube chat. Your YouTube chat comments. I have that open now so we can see that as well. Jake Reynolds, the always affable.
He is.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Jackson. Thanks for putting on QFT. I always enjoy it.
You bet.
Tony Maltese, Mafia Family, asked for the Joe Theismann story. I feel like I told that
last week.
Week.
Yeah.
So it's up there, Tony Maltese, Mafia Family. You're just going to go back. Doug Sandbagging, slow playing, y'all. It's from Fat Bob, which is actually a dog avatar and was in the balloon party chat today. I'd be surprised.
He took a 15 cap, and I would tell you probably he is a little bit higher than a 15.
But shooting an 83, and I'm not, by the way, accusing him of being a sandbagger because I played with him, and he does have a really good swing.
Mm-hmm.
But... I mean, the only thing I can think is like somebody who is he playing? I don't remember who he's playing.
Haley's Comet.
Haley's Comet was out of the hole and just said, pick it up. Like one time, the only time I had to pick it up with the Pope was on 8, and I was greenside with probably, I was just off, so I probably would have putted it. My most likely score is a 4. I'm greenside in 2. And
yeah,
the way you actually keep the score per the USGA for handicap purposes, I don't know if you're aware of this. I assume you are since you majored in golf. Is you give yourself your most likely outcome.
Right.
My most likely outcome there was a 4. Initially, the Pope wrote down a 3, not to sabotage me, but, and I'm like, my most likely score. I mean, can I put it in 1 out of, I don't know, 30 times maybe? It's a 4. You know, can I 3-putt it? Sure. But most likely, I'm going to 2-putt it, 4. So I didn't know if that happened, but Doug said that didn't happen.
He said only one time, and he was like an inch away. It was like a normal gimme. So I think, straight up 83.
Hey, I mean, holy shit. What if Doug Vaughn wins the Jennings? Nobody on the dais has ever won it, right?
No one has. Are you the one who's gotten the furthest? Weren't you?
I feel like I've gone to the semifinals.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Iggy has gone to the semis before.
I think he missed a 4-foot putt that would have sent him to the semifinals, I think is the story. And it was like a bad
Callahan read. Or something.
Yeah, I think that's why I was against Todd Callahan. All right, you want the text inbox one. Micah Sage, once again.
Sage,
let me see what I got.
Welcome
here.
Back.
Tim, for context, I normally come up with my questions as I'm listening to the show, and I think, I wonder. And that's sort of the beauty of QFTA. I have a question, I can send it to you, and maybe you'll answer it. So here's what I was curious about today. This was sent last Thursday. How do you decide what to read from the text inbox? From what you've described on air, it sounds like at times it can be like a slot machine. How are you able to zero in on one? Are you able to flag certain text names so that they may appear differently so that you can read, for instance, Listener of the Year Chairman Steve's text? Or on the flip side, can you flag text names to never read? And how does a new texter break into the normal rotation of read texts? Lastly, how do you land on the inflection of the reading? For example, when you shout a text, are those just sent in with all caps? Jackson's nodding. He knows the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know from the text if they're a roast or if they're really angry? Thanks. That's Micah, a.k.a. the Bard of Lombard, guest on the podcast a month ago. It's interesting because I've never thought about the process of reading the text. My understanding is, I don't know if this is a TMA Reddit thing or not. Do you know if it's a TMA Reddit thing that I only read text from my classmates at St. Louis U High in class of 94?
Felt like that accusation was rained down from the text line itself.
Oh, really?
Which would spit in the face of said conspiracy. But
I see.
Who am I
to say? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Nicely done. I didn't even think about that. I mean, plenty of people or read, and I've never met them, you know, I mean, in a major way. Like, I just found out, I might be giving something away, but a prominent texter, for those of you who listen to TMA, was with the Pope at a member guest this weekend in Nashville, my opponent, the Pope, in the Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. And he was a delight to play. I mean, I played with him before, but he's just a good guy, and
really
I rode with him.
Yeah, so was Alan Dadeville.
Alan Dadeville was his caddy. And this guy lives outside of St. Louis, listens to TMA, doesn't live in St. Louis, was at this member guest in Nashville, and is a well-known
very prominent
texter.
Yeah.
Oh, so you heard the story too?
Yes, the Pope told me.
All right. So, anyway, I mean, I've never met most of these people. I guess there's apparently a conspiracy theory. They don't usually get sent to me.
Sent around you.
Sent around me. But with the Plowhawk making his stand in the TMA Reddit, I don't know if that cleared it out or not.
Custer.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But either way, I think about the text. I guess when I'm not talking, I spend my time either reading stories that I then bring up,
mm-hmm.
some of which are your links or KGNO Town's links. And then if I'm not talking, I will scroll the text. I suppose if I see certain names, I will read them because I know that there is a good chance that they're good, in my opinion, good. So Stephen Wild would be an example. Now, Stephen Wildwood is a texter. I don't know how often you have the text inbox open, who, if it doesn't get read, he sends it in multiple times.
He stacks it. If he has a
stacks it. That's right.
If he has a new thought, he just copies and pastes it to his previous text.
Right. That's what he does. Yeah. Or he might change it a little bit.
It's like a twofer.
But he's not the only one who does it, but he's one of the only good texters who does it.
Yeah. He's a stack king.
Stack king. If I see Carlos Spicy Wiener, if I see recaps.
Arbor Day,
Little Tommy Tribbins.
Manupo Eligible.
Glove Blogger Tom Traven. Like, there is a good chance that's good material.
Yeah.
But, I think people think that we embellish numbers and exaggerate like it fucking matters, like it really doesn't. Like, does 300,000 downloads mean less to you than 500,000 downloads?
Right.
Oh, they're making up the stats. I think it's public information, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
Maybe not in downloads.
Nobody's buying because of downloads. You got to get to, I know I said it on TMA today that I was on the phone with Tron Carter, No Laying Up, right. About buying advertising on No Laying Up for Sound Story. And he was giving me his prices, and God bless him. I didn't go, what the fuck, that's too high. I go, I know it works.
Yeah.
And then I got to figure out the math on, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? So when we have advertisers come on, I mean, take your pick of whomever. Munganast, sponsor of this podcast, stlouisacura.com, altontoyota.com, James Carlton, carltoninsurance.net, Mark Hanna, evergreenstl.com, Seth Goldkamp, Design Air Heating and Cooling, Longo Biggs. Ask them if they get return on investment. They're not going, well, I mean, God, they got great downloads, but we'll just keep throwing money. Either you get clients from the advertising or you don't. That's it. Now, the entry point can be the downloads or on non-TMA shows, ratings, but you don't keep spending money because the ratings are high. I can tell you when I bought advertising for Sound Story in the fourth quarter of 2023, I looked at downloads and then talked with people around to find out what the story was with those respective shows that had high downloads, and some worked and some didn't. Guess what? I pulled the advertising from the ones that didn't. It's very basic stuff.
Right.
But either way, when I'm talking about the text, when I say we get a lot of text, it's not like we get like the same 10 guys texting and I just say we got a lot of text. Iggy loves to tell a story of one of the people he produces for always saying we have a full board of phone calls, call in, and there were never any phone calls. So I guess this stuff can go on.
Right.
You see the text inbox. If we were sworn under oath, you would see, I don't know how many we get per show. We have hundreds of people texting in.
Yep.
I would say 60% have saved names. Do you say that's a fair...
We have currently 674 text names saved.
Oh, okay. But obviously more than 674 text in.
Right.
So I don't know. So anyway, that was one of the questions. I can send it to, how do you decide what to read from the text inbox? From what you've described on air, it sounds like at times it can be like a slot machine. It can be, absolutely. How are you able to zero in on one? Are you able to flag? There's no flagging certain text names. But as I said, there are names that I know if I see, there's a good chance that they're going to be good. But even then, if I'm in the midst of a conversation, I'm not, and if you see it on YouTube, I'm not looking at the text inbox. And I'm the one who's reading the text, with the exception of when the Plowhawk would argue with the texter, but not read the initial text, which honestly is one of my favorite things over the last year on the show.
Yeah.
On the flip side, can you flag text names to never read? And how does a new texter break into the normal rotation of red text? I don't know on that. I guess I can give one tip, and I think, like, Jackson, you might be able to answer this better than me. Having a name.
Yeah.
Because it's tough on 101. I mean, that we have our actual apples to oranges comparison. On 101, 99% of the texts don't have names. So I'm sure there are a bunch of TMA texters, you know what I mean?
Totally.
But I don't have their names saved on 101.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they want them there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't care on 101, but I haven't asked because I don't read nearly as many texts on Balloon Party as I do on TMA.
Yeah. If you want a text name to be saved, all you have to do is at the bottom of your text, not the top. There was one guy who kept doing it at the top. I was like, you're never going to get read because it looks like you're sending in the same exact thing every day because of our text preview before you click on it. At the end of your text, sign it with whatever name you want. And as long as it's not like a terrible name, I will save it. And then it'll be much easier, not much easier for you to get read because a lot of it's timing.
Yeah.
You know, like if we're in a peak text time, usually after Ken, like today when he said, when were lights invented, like prime example of it's going to spike in text. It's going to start rolling. And so you might have sent in a great text, but it's going to go to the bottom quite quickly. So it's a big timing thing.
And also here's one of the things, you might just not have it. Might not have it.
There's plenty of guys that can, or people, I don't know.
You just might not have it. You just might not have it.
Yeah. Like I'm reading some of the text names that are saved right at the top. And they don't text in very often, but President's Taft's Bathtub Butter, I Cuck Uncles, and Brian Henschen are three at the top.
Not Brian
Henschen. Mm. And I'm like, boy, some of these are really good. A Carcass of Dough, the Airplane's Icebox, Angry Anthony Pagano. Some really good ones in here. Gage, comma, the Animal. So I hope some more of these people text in.
I don't know. And then this is a good one here. And I'd be curious how I'm going to ask you first.
Sure.
I know my answer, but right. I'm curious how you answer. Lastly, how do you land on the inflection of the radio? Oh, not that part. For example, when you shout a text, are those sent in all caps? Yes, there are caps.
100%.
This was the one I was going to say. How do you know from the text if they're a roast or if they're really angry? I feel like there is no one better in the St. Louis area, in broadcasting, podcasting, whatever wonderful field we're in, who can tell. With like, it's like name that tune, name that psycho.
Yeah, right.
I can spot it, and it just comes from being on message boards going back to the 1990s. I can recognize when it's like joking. I can recognize when it's like joking, but it's socially awkward person who is actually really writing something that's like shitty, but they everybody else is saying. And then I can realize when I'm like, oh, fuck, we got one.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'd say maybe once a month-ish, I feel like we got one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your strategy for figuring out if we got one?
Okay. There's usually a couple of tells. Non-text name saved, but only have like a handful of texts starting from like the week prior.
Yeah, that's one I hadn't included, but that's true. In other words, it's like they're using a fake number, so it's a... Yeah.
If they're shitting on Tim in particular, like if it's between a roast or a shitting on Tim, if they call him Timmy, it's more
that's
likely.
That's interesting, God.
It's more than likely that they're shitting on him.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've
and yet that's what my family calls me.
Right.
So are they shitting on me?
No, that's different because like the texter is trying to like belittle you and by calling you like a child, more childlike name. So that is a tell.
Tiny, they'll make reference to my height.
Tiny, yeah, Tiny Tim is a popular one. Yep. That's certainly one
that's
or a, two of
big.
Our.
And I'll tell you what, it's cutting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Boy, does it hurt. So I always say it's the end of 8 Mile, where if you say all the things that people can shit on you for, what else do they have to shit on you for?
And he said that to Anthony Bourdain.
May he rest in peace. Anthony Mackie,
that's right.
Who played Papa Doc.
Yep.
Later played Falcon, the MCU. Mm. But that's the idea. And also poor use, not of grammar, of punctuation. Like exclamation points where they're not needed.
Interesting. You're adding. So I'm not going with any of these, but they're all accurate.
Yeah, not needed exclamation points and other dot, dot, dots. Sometimes go five dot, dot, dots.
A lot of
and
dots.
Then there's like lack, ellipses. Like shit we like. Like mess, like joke about, like the but they do it seriously. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is alive.
God, those are good. Here, now, here's how I do it.
Okay.
If I see one where I'm like, oh, and it's not necessarily about an individual. Mm-hmm. It can be.
Right.
But I'm just like, oh. Like, apparently, and I don't know. Well, this, I'm not giving his name, but apparently Nathan Tallahassee's big in the TMA Reddit.
Oh, I saw when Plowsy had infiltrated that he was like, I'm a real person. Like, I'm, you know my name. And the person, and then the person responded, I'm Nathan Tallahassee, bitch. And I was like, wow, the lack of self-awareness is just flowing through us.
But I don't believe it's really Nathan Tallahassee. Now, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to read the TMA Reddit.
Yeah, I haven't been back since.
But the guy who rips the show, Nathan Tallahassee, who texts it. Now, I have to say, ever since the Plowhawk TMA Reddit discussion.
Is Custer Final Stand?
Nathan Tallahassee hasn't texted in.
He only texts in, like,
in the first 15 minutes of the show.
Right, because I think I do overdoably think he lives in Tallahassee and probably has a job where he has to be somewhere.
And it's Eastern time zone.
Right.
So, at least I think it's Eastern time zone. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
It's driven more west than you'd think.
Oh, yeah.
But it is still Eastern time zone.
So, now I'm like, Nathan Tallahassee, for as cutting as the shit he would write in on the TMA text inbox, I never was like, oh, he's like a Reddit guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
There's also, you might be confused, Nathan from the east side of Alton.
Yeah, I know.
He's a ripper, but I think he's like roasting.
Right. But I always kind of thought Nathan Tallahassee was roasting.
He was a 50-50 ball for me.
Really?
He was always a Calvin.
So you think
Johnson.
It's possible that's really Nathan Tallahassee in the Reddit?
I can't rule anything out. I read a page, opened my eyes, and then immediately shut them because I haven't been back since. I'll go on Reddit, and it like will pop up at the top, like TMA SL chat. I'm like, ooh, scroll past. Can't look at that.
Red the poison. History of the TMA Reddit needs to be, because I got a little, there's somebody associated with the show who I think the world of, truly, I don't know if you know this history, it's a brief, I mean, it's kind of a 0.01% of people find it interesting, but whatever, who's like, I don't know, because I would, you know, I think in like, at events or something, he'd go, God, that, he goes, it's a shame that you can't have a community, because most of the audience... And it is true. It's not like, let me kiss the audience's ass. Most of the audience, like way more than, like it's not 51%. It's like 90%+ of the audience are like people I'd hang out with. Truly people I'd hang out with.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, I got to, you know, like when Trump jerks off the religious right. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You know, and they're like, yeah, this guy's one of us. Just like,
But hey. Hush money?
But I would really hang out with.
Right.
But it's not that it's 0.1%. There's a portion where I was like, oh, okay, you know, not necessarily for me. I'm probably not for them. Fine. And so what this person's premise was, it's a shame there can't be like a non-fan page where you can kind of get some of the, like, you know, I don't know what the right word for it is. I don't know. Whatever. Where it can be like the ones you would want to hang out with and have a conversation. Inevitably, I guess there'd be screenshot bandits even there.
As long as people know how to do it, there's going to be screenshot bandits.
Screenshot bandits.
Ask any OnlyFans star how they feel about screenshot bandits.
Oh, yeah. Well, Iggy did ask Brianna Kopich. But,
goat moment.
and then this person, who, again, is an intelligent person. Right. This isn't just like, he goes, you got to do Reddit. And I go, the fuck?
I know the story now. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I go, that is like,
that's the
I go, any place where you have anonymity, you're going to have tough guys.
Right.
You can't do it. It's not even in play. So I said, so the Facebook thing, for as much downside as that can have, and it's not like a lot, it just can be a little, the frustration for me is the TMA fan page forms false narratives unintentionally. That would be, Tim, what is your biggest issue with the TMA fan page? It unintentionally forms false narratives, and if that's the only information you get, then that's what you tend to believe. And then I will read it, and I go, and I used to get involved and go, well, that's actually not true, and then it's like, fuck off, you know, or somebody would be like, this is my moment to challenge Big Tough Tim, and it'll be their big thing. Like
big
when Jason Isringhausen said about the guys he and Edmonds are playing wiffle ball, I didn't realize I was going to give four guys the biggest day of their life here today, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm not, it's not even worth it. Because what I say, you don't believe anyway.
Right.
But still, I'll take the fan page over a place where you have anonymity. It's why I don't tweet. It's why I'm not active on, you know, whatever, those kinds of things. Because now you're up against a guy who's going through something and they're venting anonymously. So that's the source of it for me. With regard to the TMA text inbox, I guess we can run into it, but it's so, to me anyway, it's so rare. Now, May, you're telling me things that I was not necessarily aware of.
Oh, you mean like on the
text? The tells, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then, you're right,
but
it
it's
is
few
rare.
And far between.
Once a month at most.
Right.
At most.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So what I do, if I see them, if I go, oh, shit, I go to the text history.
Yeah.
And more often than not, for real, not necessarily like 80%, but 50%+ for sure, there's racism in there. Or like some kind of like, I don't even know if I call it racism, just like
intolerance of some sort.
Just like,
the shade.
Like STL Today comment kind of stuff.
Shades
that.
Of bigotry.
Right. Like STL Today comments, like you know it.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about this in a commercial break. Benjamin Hockman wrote a column about Michael Sam getting drafted 10 years ago. And I saw it, and I go, oh, Hockman, why'd you even do it to yourself?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, do I click on the comments?
And the answer is always, unequivocally. Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it was like a Sunday morning. I'd gotten a good night of sleep.
So you really wanted to say,
and
start
I'm just
your
like,
day off right.
Let me, I got to go play a match in cold, windy weather. Let me bring myself down to find some equilibrium. I'll read the comments. And sure enough, it was just, you know, it was dumb fuckery.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what that, but so that's one of the things. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why that exists, why this is going on, mm-hmm. that is the tie to, like, you will, if you are angry about whatever group of people, that in almost every case, of the bigotry, I'm not talking about political discourse like libtard, MAGA stuff.
Sure.
Anti-Semitic shit with you, anti-Catholic shit with me, which is amazing, but whatever it is, what it is. I don't believe you made a choice at 18 to be Jewish.
No.
I didn't make a choice to be Catholic. Short, pale, whatever, all these things that you don't necessarily have control of, that the angry people, that's what they go in on. And I don't necessarily know what that's about. I just know that after doing this for as many years as we've been doing it, that that's what goes on.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anybody, I don't know, maybe you'll be like, dude, we just had this a few weeks ago. But I haven't seen one in a while.
Not in TMA.
Where I go, but the balloon party ones are different. The balloon party ones are more like STL Today comments.
There's one guy in particular who is like, so, like, it's bordering on the point where, like, I think...
Does he have a name saved over there, or is it just
a
number?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't
But
know.
I don't know if it's ever been read out loud. He's, like, it's bordering on, like, I think he might have, like, some mental issues kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's
not
just,
like a psychotic, but, like...
Right.
Just, like...
But there are... You recognize it, and immediately I recognize it, because there's anger. It's a weird deal. So, the way I, like... is text history, because usually there are a handful of, and the name usually isn't saved. Usually, I guess there are exceptions. There are a couple that longtime listeners would probably recognize. Big Racist was one of my favorites.
Shout out Hoffman, man, for so many reasons.
But yeah, it's a very odd. It does go on. Mm-hmm. The balloon party thing is more just like. It's not even, I haven't read one, including the anti-Catholic stuff. I get pissed when I read the anti-Semitic stuff, and I don't know why. And it's not like, and I want to make this clear, it's not like that's a regular deal.
No.
It's just, when I saw it the first time, I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Right.
You know, because why would I ever read an anti-Semitic thing?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm working with somebody who's Jewish, and it's my first, well, the cat, you know what? Now that I think about it with the cat, there were a couple things with him, now that I think about that. But... The cat, I don't know if he would respond. I don't know. It was a little different deal. Your thing, I was just like, I don't know. But so, yeah, I guess I have read it before, but I guess the cat had the text inbox open.
Yeah.
So it was a different deal. I don't know. But either way, whatever. that stuff I never read as like, oh, we got to worry about that guy. Do you ever read that? I feel like on TMA,
if it comes
TMA can be obsessive, and that's what I worry about. It's obsessive. Attacking is a different deal than obsessive.
Yeah, so, 100%. Yeah, the obsessive, you're right on that. That's a key point. And when it comes up on TMA, because of how great our texters are and the roast style, and they get the picture, and it's a show that benefits you the longer you listen because of the jokes that keep running around for years and years. Like, it's so good. So when I do see it in there, like a real thing where you're talking about the obsessive stuff and the text history is not great, that is much more concerning than some guy making some of, like, the worst anti-Semitic jokes on 101 ESPN. And when I say worst, not like I feel terrible about it. I'm like, come on. Like, if you're going to be into, like, try a little harder.
Right. It's just, I don't even know what they are. I just remember seeing them. They're just, like, dumb. Look, we might have a live one in the YouTube chat today.
About time.
Sideline fans? Hi, Timmy. Lopsided head. Is this the show? The cat is Nate in Tallahassee. Iggy, you wouldn't hang out with him. Have you seen your fans? You have more teeth than 20 of them do. So that kind of right there. This is great. This is timely. Part of me is like, is Jackson playing a character in the YouTube chat?
That'd be great. What a development.
This is great. Because usually it's like, I can't show you the text inbox because then you would see the phone numbers, and we're not going to do that. But if you're in the YouTube chat, we actually have a potential live one. I mean, it's so serendipitous.
I think if I had to put money down, I think, like, when he said, hi, Timmy, that was in response to me being like,
I get it, but then the following... I think we got a live one.
All right.
And as I said, I don't think anybody in St. Louis broadcasting/podcasting can spot a live one better than me.
I really do.
I'd love to know who could. I would love to know who could. Like, I mean, what about the one, and I told the story on TMA last week with Ed Herman about the LGBTQ president who really wasn't the LGBTQ president from WashU.
Yeah.
And Iggy was going to go on the air and address it. And I go, I'm just telling you, I don't know. I just feel very confident that this isn't real. I'm still trying to figure out. It's like playing somebody in poker, and you don't necessarily know why you think they're bluffing. Mm-hmm. You just know something doesn't add up, and it's almost like a subconscious, right. Whether it be you pick up a behavioral tell, or the bet didn't make sense, or something. You're like, something doesn't make sense. Spot the live one. Yeah, that's what we'll call it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, that was a good question by Micah Sage.
What
else can I do? I want to do one more. Yeah. Okay, I'll do this one. This is a good one. Hey, Tim and Ledoux boy.
Yes, sir.
Was out on the course Saturday, and a few friends and I were reflecting on some of the best TMA moments after PB's exit. Oh, Plowboy's exit. I'm like, who's PB? Mm. Been on the show. I'm not missing. PB, Plowboy's exit. The one that sticks with me is the Bruce/Tucker reveal 5 or 6 years ago. I know we were at Caffinus and Kirkwood when that happened, because I can picture where I was.
Summer 2018.
2018?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I remember because we were a family vacation, Surf City, North Carolina.
And the vacation stopped on a dime.
My vacation certainly stopped on a dime once I dropped my phone.
You dropped your phone.
I remember exactly where I was listening to it, because I was also listening to Scorpion by Drake. It just came out.
So wow. Another Drake reference.
Going between Drake and TMA.
I'm sure you've answered in the past, and I missed it, but did you guys know the whole time? Did you find out when the rest of the TMA universe did? What's funniest about it all is that the three guys I was with all remembered where they were where they were sitting when they heard the news.
I'm telling you.
Maybe the best hour of radio I've ever encountered. Any insight you can share on the event, the characters, and any other memories you have of it would make my day. Thanks. That's from, sincerely, Kevin from the mean streets of East Creve Coeur. Yeah, East Creve Coeur. Is that border Olivet?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous part of town then.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're currently in East Creve Coeur.
Is that right? Are we in East Creve
Coeur? Central Creve Coeur.
I get confused on the stuff that's not like...
Yeah. It becomes Olivet once you
reach... I'm on the little north side, even though I would say this is south north side, right?
Yeah. Once you reach...
belch my load up.
Once you reach Old Bonham, it turned into Olivet, but it's Creve Coeur up through all of here, and then I guess pretty far down until you get to Chesterfield.
Like Paulie Manos is, I think, Creve Coeur.
I think that's Chesterfield.
Wow. We'll have to figure that out. On the Bruce Tucker reveal, let me answer Kevin from the mean streets of East Creve Coeur's question. We absolutely did not know the whole time. Absolutely did not know the whole time. I am anti-sketches and bits.
Right.
I don't know what... I don't... I mean, if they're like TMA... I don't even know. Guidelines. I don't know what the right word would be because there really aren't. But like,
tenets.
Yeah.
Tenets of success.
I don't want to work with somebody who's a drag behind the scenes. That's a big thing. No. That's a big, 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 big thing. Don't want sketches or bits.
Yeah.
Don't want people playing characters, you know. Like, I spent time with Lix on Sunday for the first time, and Lix has money. I don't know if he worked for it, if he inherited it, if he hit hard in the stock market. I have no idea. I just am confident. There's a certain, you know, little interactions, I guess, for lack of a better term. But I mean, Lix is a caller. If somebody on the show is playing a character, you know, so we did not know. I guess it may sound like I doth protest too much, but we absolutely did not know. I remember a guy who I'm friends with told me a buddy of mine or somebody at work knows the guy who calls in as, what was it, Bruce and Tucker.
Yeah.
And says that's a guy that he works with. And he is, you know, he's the same guy and he calls in. And I feel like I may have said that on the air. Somehow that got it going. Then Swope did the investigation, got bad intel.
It's on for like 40 minutes laying out this entire case.
So great.
And Tucker
Swope
calls in and was like,
amazing.
No, that's true.
And then Tucker, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, did Swope do a Swope's Picks on that? I assume he did. Okay.
Two-part.
But I mean, there's so much more. The guy is, that's what I'm saying. This is not, I hate that certain, not even certain, most people thank their fans and then I have the most amazing fans or we have the most amazing fans. Like if you're a band or a baseball team or whatever. But we really do have, I mean, we have some assholes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, some really fucked up assholes. But there's like 10 of them.
Yeah.
Right. And then we just have people who listen to the show who don't interact. And that's obviously the lion's share. And then you have people who are really into it, and so they're on the fan page or, I guess, the Reddit. And then you have this portion of the audience that's super talented, but they've chosen the right career path not to do this, but their creative outlet is TMA.
Right.
Because we will read their shit or let them participate, whereas that can't happen. Like, we couldn't read their shit on Bloom Party, not because because we got a million texts over there and the names aren't saved.
Yeah. And we don't do live calls.
We don't do live calls. So in the case of Tucker / Bruce, this guy is sick talented. Sick talented.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I don't even know. I'm doing Mount Rushmore of talented TMA listeners without question is in there. I'm trying to think of who else would be.
Deke
is absolutely there.
Recaps
is absolutely there. Then now it's going to get tough because you're going to leave somebody else. Swope, yeah. Swope is almost like a diligent wizard, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. He'll dig it up, too. He's got the work ethic. He's got the want, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, when that happened...
Cucky's right up there as well.
Cucky's brilliant. Yeah, so when that happened, there's no way anybody else... I don't know who was on... I don't know if the Cat was in a furlough or if the... Well, if it was 2018, then the Cat wouldn't have been a furlough.
It was full squad.
Was it full squad?
I think it was like the last... It was Sea Monsters, like the end of Sea Monsters.
Oh,
yeah. Because I think Pete started, August of 18?
So who would that have been? Seymour... Iggy?
Iggy, for sure.
So Seymour and Iggy were in the same room together? I know you would know that, but I
wasn't Iggy in the main studio with you guys during that? Like, you guys had five in there.
Seymour kicked him out?
I don't know about that.
So Plowhawk was on the board. Iggy was in there?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because he started with you guys when you guys were back at KFNS in 2016, late 2016.
Yeah.
And then through.
But then what relegated him back to the other room? I know
COVID.
Nobody knows we're talking. This
probably.
Is like, really?
Or he realized he could duck out for smoke breaks.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. I need to ask about that. Because I can picture where him sitting. Like the cat was next to me, and then Doug was on the other end. Plowhawk was across. And then there was another little.
Yeah. But
that was a great studio,
by
the way.
Really nice.
I mean, I'm sure I assume it's still up. You know, they're still broadcasting from there.
It was a comfy studio, dude.
Oh, yeah. It was
great. Feet on the floor, too. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big feet on the floor. I don't know why they do that here.
I have a box here under my feet, too.
Well, imagine what I have.
I have a box here that I rest my feet on.
God. I have an ottoman. So, none of us knew. I mean, no. Did you find out? Yeah, we found out when it happened. And then as I learned more about the guy, then I had a greater appreciation for him.
Right.
I mean, the Tucker thing was like, it was so stereotypical Clayton, you know, financial guy, cocaine. Well, like he would do the.
He called in like a year ago and did it where he was at the Shark Bar at BPV and he kept sniffling in between his call. It was so funny. Oh my God. I need to pull that for the skeleton.
Oh.
That was so. I kept sniffling and it was so funny.
And he would just play into like like he's like the lesbians at some pizza place. What's the pizza place? In U City, that I've never had
Little
it.
Pizza.
That's it. And people rate it like good New York
really
pizza.
Good. Yeah. The guys are from Queens.
Like, Tim, you've got to hang out at La Pizza. There are hot lesbian moms everywhere.
The store itself is smaller than our studio. It's a takeout only.
Takeout pizza. It's like Pizza Go Go. Although you can sit at Pizza Go Go.
You can. I see it.
And then the only thing that was odd to me about the Bruce thing was at the very beginning of either the beginning of the Morning Grind or the show I did with Frank Cusimano, which was the press box then, there was a guy calling in, but he was Bruce in shoes.
Different guys.
Different guys. You've gotten that confirmed?
But the characters of Bruce in shoes and Bruce in New York were two different characters, right?
Bruce in shoes was a guy. So weird. I believe the whole thing was he was supposed to be working in the shoe department. He was clearly acting like he was a gay gentleman.
Yeah.
And as weird as it sounds, 2004 is a different time.
Yeah.
Do with it what you want, but it just was.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Bruce calling in. Now, I mean, that was like, I'm like, this can't be the same guy, but then he's got to be familiar with the show. And what are the chances our two gay callers are both named Bruce? I mean, it just, you know, so again, but I didn't really delve into it.
Yeah.
And he was so knowledgeable and.
Well, that's the thing is like Bruce, the Tucker caller, was like knowledgeable about like actual events that were going on in New York that his character, who
that's
is like a party planner.
Yeah, he's a party planner with his, what was his husband's name?
Bruce and.
They had two kids.
They had two kids with preppy names.
Yeah, and I think they went to school in Manhattan, at a private school in Manhattan, but they were party planners out in Long Island.
But he would like pick actual things that if his character was real, he would actually do the party planning for. And like you could look it up and cross-reference it. Like he did the work.
It was so good.
Now
holy
I can't remember
shit.
The name of his husband.
Yeah.
They lived in Chelsea. In Chelsea.
That was right. And they had dogs and kids. And
he was he went to Mizzou. That's why he like loves the show and like is going to be coming in for football games. I remember listening to
two gay party planners coming in from the Hamptons for the game against Vanderbilt.
I remember
of course.
Being on the range down in Florida, like firing up TMA to listen while on the range. I was like, oh, Bruce Cole. I can't wait to listen to this. Thinking it was this party planner in New York.
Yeah, I mean, with the benefit, of course, now the cards being turned over, the Bruce part, the Bruce part was suspicious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it, you know, like the Tucker thing, I'm like, all you have to do is float out lesbianism, and I'm just, I'm going to convince myself that it's real.
You're bought in.
Yeah, exactly. That's, that. If you make turn me into a mark, that's it. David Ellington, who I used to believe went by the Duke, in the YouTube chat. And by the way, Cucky the Dwarf says, thanks, fellas. Absolutely. Cucky the Dwarf's one of the most creative motherfuckers we've ever had.
His song he played on Made on Friday was amazing.
David the Duke Ellington. Tim, would you consider the Plowhawks hot takes as playing a character? No, I would not.
No.
I always felt with his backtracking, And some of those, he was playing sports talk. I know he was absolutely not.
He's just a really sweet guy. He's like, Plowick is like one of the sweetest people ever. He just like gets, he has moments of getting real fired up about things.
Right.
And when he goes into that
he gets activated about money.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's, then it just kind of goes every, so Mazalek bothers him because of like playing a role, holding on to wealth.
Yeah.
Bill DeWitt. Yeah, it's tough to like find like the things, but there are things. I don't know why Drinkwitz bothered him.
That one's tough.
Because that's not a money thing.
No, it's I think he's just like so the dorky thing, and it's like so easy, you know, like it's like a 5 foot putt, like it's like come on, you know, he's.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't just like he was making. It was like he was like this guy.
From the get go, he came out with like remember and you know. And the Anis Rakestraw video where, like, Drinkwitz had been hired, and, like, a week later, he's the video of him getting super fired up when Anis Rakestraw committed.
That it was an act.
That, and then the G-Wagon came quickly after that where he has a picture with the G-Wagon, starts wearing the Jordans, takes helicopters to the high school games, and, like, is always wearing the Jordans.
Yeah, but Pinkel, all these coaches do the helicopter thing.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Well, I know, but I don't think that was one of the things that the Plowhawk was upset about. I don't know, either way. No, the Plowhawk... He felt these things, absolutely felt these things, and then just I'm probably like the ultimate opposite, I would think, because I'm so, I think anyway, well, maybe I wouldn't be, I think, calculated, and his was just, he's just going to say it, and I think from an entertainment standpoint, from an audience, you would rather have the guys who's going to go off half-cocked.
100%.
You know?
Oh, my God, yeah, if you're looking for straight entertainment.
Right.
Yeah.
Now... Then, but if you don't like the calculated guy and the calculated guy is wrong, then you seize on that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
The guy who's going off half-cocked, you're just like, well, he's just going half-cocked, so much so that you think he's playing a character, and he wasn't playing a character.
It's like a shotgun
surprise. We didn't go, hey, say trade Tarasenko, you know? Right. He really believed it. And by the way, when he was saying this, he wasn't, like, on an island with this shit. Other people were saying it. He's just on a show, and so people could go back and make fun of it, you know?
Certainly not alone in Mazalek and DeWitt. Bashing
them. Right. So no, that there's just the only person I can think on the show who I would ever go, yeah, I wonder if he's really being real is Iggy.
Yeah.
But the more I'm with him,
the more
I'm just like it's absolutely real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's in on it. There's this thing, you know, that like Iggy's really hurt by these texts. If he were hurt by it, you know, we would talk about it. And I have, because I know I've told the story before, but there was one where I read, I think it was an email, and I'm just like, okay, this is starting to get a little, and he goes, ah, it's fine. You know, I didn't care.
We have the answer. It was Bruce and Jacob and their adopted newborn twins, Beaumont and Prescott.
We should have picked. I'm disappointed in us for not picking up on it now. Now I'm mad at us.
Beaumont and Prescott.
Beaumont and Prescott adopted twins.
There is no, like... higher form of pretentious name than Boma and Prescott. They're either butlers or they are sitting on generational wealth.
Oh, God. As Cucky the Dwarf saying, as Plowhawk's groomsman, it is not a character, but also as passionate as he is, he forgets the take as soon as a snack cake hits his lips.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And that's the thing.
Yeah, like, he just doesn't care. I mean, his behavior in between different hours would change based on, you know, intake.
Yeah. Blood sugar.
Yeah.
That's the, but Plowick is such a sweet guy. So, like, when people are like, oh, he's backtracking, he's like, no, he is, like, he is a good person, a sweet guy. So sometimes he can, like, be self-aware of, like, sometimes he said some things that in the moment he was in, like, a moment of seeing red. And because he's so sweet, he's, like, understanding that he might not be 100% right.
And it was so great on the show because he's the only one on the show who would go off half-cocked.
Right.
It's not Doug's thing. It's not my thing. It's not your thing. I guess Iggy can, but it's a lot of at some point he's going to say something that's just factually inaccurate that just blows it up.
Usually pointed at one person, usually in the media, but like the outskirts of the media.
Right, yeah. Such as who's the hockey writer that he went after and drove creepy.
I can't think
of his name.
Son of a bitch.
Somebody's going to put it in the YouTube chat.
We had a mental lapse here. Lou Korak.
Like, this is nice hockey writer.
Super nice.
Writing creepy at him.
Lou Korak. Who's the lady with Golf Channel or something who's always...
Oh, well, she's not with Christine Brennan. Every year, she always goes to Augusta. And, like, I mean, it's such a tired thing. Like, but anyway, she did it this year, of course. But I guess he called her sweetie on a call or something, or honey. And then that, I mean, if there's one person in sports media, I know this, over the last 20 years, who you don't call sweetie or honey. I mean, not that I'm calling women sweetie or honey anyway, but it's her. I mean, holy shit. She is the ultimate exposed nerve of that. Right. I mean, she's like a Twitter parody account come to life. And you just kind of know when the gust is rolling around that she's going to find something to bitch about. It's just like, okay, just let her do her thing. You don't give it attention. It's what it is. You don't give a fuck. And then Iggy calling her sweetie is just phenomenal. Jake Reynolds, who's a loyal listener, says, COVID sent Iggy to the back, had to space out. I believe that's when that was mentioned. That was, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
The audience knows more about the show than we do, and I love it.
The COVID protocols at Kevin, that's really funny. Like,
There was a TMA Live.
Worst ever.
It was unbelievable. It's the first time, well, I guess I had met you when you came in. You were a high school student. You interviewed us. But the first time since you started working on the show, and it, what was it? Was it 21? No, 20. 20. It was actually 20.
December
it was 2020.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I remember when you told me we were going to be doing that.
Doug and Iggy were not allowed. This is real. I don't know if I've told the story. Doug and Iggy were not allowed to appear at the TMA Live for fear of COVID. This is December now.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of fucking weird.
It was a spike, too. Like, it was spiking
hard. Oh, that's when I got it. I did get it in December 20, but I didn't get it. I got it after, right at Christmas Eve. I remember that's when I was like, holy shit, I don't feel right. But this is December 20.
Yes,
this okay. is December 20. And, you know, this just speaks to so much. But we had to do the TMA Live. And you can do the algebra on that if you'd like. As to why we would absolutely have to do something for a sponsor. And Doug and Iggy were two at risk. So me and you and Jay?
Correct. Andy Hanselman as well. Who's in
and
the
Andy
chat.
Andy Hanselman? Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. No, it was December 20. It was me, you, and Jackson.
And Jay.
And Jay was there.
Yep.
And there, I think Carlos Spicy Wiener might have been there.
Matthew Ehrenreich.
And then there were like a couple of women somehow.
Melly Mel.
Okay.
LML Jay, one of Jay's
favorites.
Where'd
she go?
I don't know. I don't know on that. But she was definitely one of Jay's favorites.
Yeah, she used to be. I forgot all about her.
She would berate me, too. It was wild.
What's that?
She would, like, berate me.
Oh, really?
Like,
is that your kink, bro?
No, certainly not. Private Citizen Pete was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Andy Hanselman wrote, yep, that was about it.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough
we had to do it.
It was like, I did, like, oh, it's the worst thing. I remember I said it before, but we couldn't get feet up there.
Aaron and St. Chuck, nipple ring. She was there.
Yeah,
She's in the YouTube chat.
I couldn't get feet for Jay to play with. So instead, I printed off black and white copies of celebrities' feet and had Jay try to guess which.
Whose feet they were?
Whose feet. I remember one was like Dre De Mateo. Julie Bowen was certainly in there.
No, that's his favorite. He says she's at the best. Yeah.
Jay said some of the things.
Somebody named Ken's Mouth just wrote, sup, Aaron.
Nice.
So it's underway.
Jay delivered one of the funniest, I don't think I probably could say it, but said one of the funniest lines to me of all time that, while I was sitting there, and said it like so passively. I'll tell you.
This can't be said? That sucks.
I think it could be, but I want to check with you when we're not live.
Okay, fair enough. It probably had to do with the situation. Oh, I know.
No,
I have a feeling I know.
Not that. It was just funny.
Yeah, that was, that just takes me back to 2020 and going, holy shit. December 2020, we're still like in a lockdown mode.
Oh, yeah.
God.
We had to do it in St. Charles because we couldn't do it anywhere else.
That wasn't long ago. And it's like, I've like blacked out on it. Well, and the fact that we like dug in, like it was that risky. I mean, it's so, it just, that kind of fucks me up. Because
yeah.
That's 9 months after everything started.
Yeah. Rocky was there.
Yeah. Like 10 days later, I drove down to Jupiter. And I didn't come back for 6 months. Oh, I feel the load coming. It's like the happiest, for real. I'm just like, God, which is so weird because I feel like I got COVID.
You got it in 21.
I got it in 21.
I got it. We both had it at the same time.
Okay. All right.
I was like doing the show from my phone. It was the last day of camp.
I got it in 21. When did the vaccine come out? I got the vaccine on 4/3/21. It's so easy to remember because I got April 3rd, 21. And I got it in Jupiter.
Yeah. But we still got COVID because there was the Delta variant, if you remember, in December
That's
of 21.
Right.
And it was hitting everyone left and right. And I got it and you got it. But we were good to go by the time we got back for Hubbard.
This is another little phenomenon. I'm not saying that you're a burner, but you're on the watch list. Ken's mouth with sup, Aaron, and then Kay in the Bay. Guys, what's it about Ken arguing with everyone lately? He just seems a lot more grumpy lately. Just watch list material, like never has posted in the YouTube chat. So that's a little phenomenon on TMA. I don't know how well aware of it you are. The YouTube burner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because it's so easy. You can just create one.
Right.
I could create five burners.
So I see a new name pop up, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a problem today. Yeah. And then usually it's vanquished. Yeah. But anyway, what Iggy's not any more grumpy now than he was. That's just a burner, I think, doing work. When did vacationing in the Hamptons come from? I don't know where that
came from.
I don't know where that came from. I really
way
don't.
Way before my time.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, I started listening. You guys,
because it's such an obscure, it's so obviously not, like, vacationing in St. Louis is the lake or Destin.
I've had someone actually ask me, they're like, so did you actually go to the Hamptons? I was like, no. I mean, I've been to the Hamptons, but.
I haven't. Yeah. I think I've flown over it. It's landing in New York City somewhere, probably LaGuardia.
My mom from Long Island, like, the Hamptons, Montauk, are places you go on vacation. So we've gone with my mom's side, my family, plenty.
Jackson's is dunking his elitism on us, and I am uncomfortable.
Hate to say it. Been to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard as well.
Oh!
Probably Nantucket. Yeah. Martha's Vineyard's cool.
What do you hate about Table Rock?
Bennett was in Table Rock last summer. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
Interesting.
Dad's side of the family more. Well, but we my dad's side of the family went to Martha's Vineyard.
Interesting. Yeah. So the Gentiles, huh?
Gentile. Well, yeah. My dad's family from Southern Illinois. My mom's family from Long Island. A little bit different family vacations,
okay.
But oftentimes we went.
Oh, you're on the watch list too. Andy Hanselman says Thanksgiving 20 was the super spreader.
100%. But I think we avoided it then.
I remember being at my aunt's house on Christmas Eve, going, "Holy shit, I don't feel right."
Yeah.
And I guess that's right when we were about to start here.
Yes.
Wow.
We were, because it was actually worked out. Like, obviously, it doesn't. You don't want COVID, but it worked out the best way because you and I had got it, and, like, we were off for 2 weeks before we were coming here to Hubbard.
I see.
So we were
going
to be in our house anyways. It wasn't great. But then I remember that time, the CDC changed it from a 10-day quarantine to a 5-day quarantine.
On my fifth day
of having COVID, and I felt fine, so I was good.
But I had to spend
Christmas at my apartment by myself that year.
How about that?
Yeah, I was on Zoom with my family.
How about that? Boy, those Zooms.
It was fun. I was just watching NBA left and right. It was all right.
All right, I got to go. I got something at 1 o'clock. I've enjoyed it. QFTA, Jackson Burkett, Tim McKernan, thank you to the sponsors. Seth Goldkamp, Design Air Heating and Cooling. Thank you to Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. Thank you to Mark Hanna, Evergreen Wealth Strategies, James Carlton, Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, and Longo Biggs, both of whom advanced.
CD Longo
and Doug Biggs. Yeah. I wish there was video of Doug Biggs hitting this 40-foot putt against Freddie Friedman, the People's Eight.
It's the talk of the town.
I'd love to, like, know what the hell happened there to force a playoff, and then he won. Yeah, they are good guys. Longo Big, studio sponsor. Aaron and St. Chuck, have a good one, boys. Love the three-peat shirt, Jackson.
Thank you. Yeah, this was a good thrift find.
And she has nipple rings. You ever been with one with nipple rings?
No.
I don't think you would say anyway. I think you're kind of, like, in such mole mode right now.
No, I'm serious. I've never, no, nope. Can't piercings. But.
My wife listens to shit. I don't think she listens to this or Balloon Party.
Missing out.
No, she does listen to Balloon Party. She goes, I know you and Jackson say. She goes, but the show's really good. I go, I know the show. We see the numbers. It's doing well. It's just kind of like we're just fucking around, So thank you.
Riffing.
Thank you. We're riffing, yeah. But occasionally I'll make a reference to one of my previous endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll just be like, what the fuck? It's not even like I'm mildly entertained or I'm disgusted. It's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's just, what the fuck are you doing? But anyway, on nipple rings, I was with a stripper once who had nipple rings, and she had just—I guess she had just gotten her breasts enlarged, because God, I want to like—they were like this.
They made like.
Like it's just like that. I'm so for it. Good for you. God bless.
Right.
But holy, like when I'm like fucking
the,
around
the
with
the
them.
The work had not been great.
Yeah. Well, no, they were good,
okay.
And she was good looking, dark hair, blue eyes, but. I just remember going, God, this is, I don't, it's like hardening Play-Doh.
Ugh, yeah, that's not what you want.
And I don't know if that's like, I mean, that was a while ago, so I don't know if they've enhanced. I remember talking to Julianne about her breast job like at 3 a.m. at the Hustler Club and just going, God, they're so great. And I'm sure she was like, oh, this isn't creepy. Drunk guy staring at my breasts.
And probably the first person to ever tell her how great her breasts
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. Just old money moves.
That's right.
And I go, how did that, I mean, how come yours are like this? And then other ones are just like,
yeah, right.
You know,
yep.
And she goes, it's just luck of the draw. And then you got to go, I think she said under the muscle, I think.
That's what I've heard.
Is that what it is?
Well, I remember.
And then you have the teardrop effect.
Well, I remember.
And then you throw some nipple rings on that thing and some light eyes, and it's over. You got my bankroll. That's it. I'm leveraged, brother.
Yeah, Johnny Drama, one of my favorite characters in all of TV history, when he was trying to convince Vince to give him the money for calf implants, said, if you go under the muscle, just like with tits, it feels real.
Hmm.
So that's my North Star.
That is under the muscle. Okay,
Kevin
good.
Dillon is Johnny
that's
Drama.
What it is. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I just remember it. But anyway, she had nipple rings, and that's great. I don't know why that's my thing. How do you feel about them?
Not pro, not anti.
God, I'm not going to get any answers about women for like the next decade with you.
But I'm truly ambivalent about it. I get your process, thought process.
Bullshit. I understand it.
Seems like you're open-minded to my response.
I've been in early stages of relationships too. I know all about it.
And it's great.
I know a lot about, what is it? I know a lot about Joe Paterno, and it's great. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was tough. Someone's got to be in his ear like, hey.
No fucking chance.
Clearly.
Fucking chance. All right, we got to go. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show podcast from the Longo Big Studios.